surprising. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Am I on? All right, 1 Samuel 17. Well, I was glad to see that. I wasn't the only one that messes things up. So that was good. I was sure I was, I made sure I had a song this week, though. I made sure. And I had a message all worked out here with points and such, and that's not what I'm going to preach. So the message this afternoon is, I cannot tell. And so we're going to go to 1 Samuel 17, and think about this. There's no points again this afternoon. I'm just going to read this passage. Actually, I'm going to read most of it and just say a few things about it. But I was encouraged by Jesse, the father of David, and his testimony. God gave him a good testimony through the scriptures. He raised up eight boys, and he was a good father and a good example to us. So we're going to just look at this in light of Jesse. And let's go to the Lord in prayer once again and just ask his blessing on this time. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity, the honor it is to be able to open your word this afternoon. We thank you for the good messages that we've heard already today. We thank you for fathers. Lord, I thank you for the great privilege that it is to be able to be a father myself, but also, Lord, to be able to learn from a father, to be able to be raised by a father. I know not everybody has that, but Lord, we can have a father in you, and we thank you for that. Lord, that is the greatest relationship that we could ever have, and we thank you, Lord, that you desire. It's such a mystery, but you desire to be a father to us, and we thank you for it. We pray now that you'd bind the enemy from our hearts. We pray that you'd bless in this time. We ask your blessing now in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, of course, a familiar passage, but I'm just going to go ahead and read through the story of David and Goliath. And what a great encouragement for me as a dad, and I think for anyone that's a dad, to think about a young man like David who went against the armies of the Philistines and had courage for the God of Israel. He didn't have courage in himself. He had courage for the name of his God. And I believe there's some principles that we can see here. So 1 Samuel 17, verse 17. Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the whole battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." And then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Akron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Akron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistine and after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." What a powerful passage of scripture. I love this passage of scripture. Just to read through and think about David standing up in the power of God, going against someone that he was clearly he was clearly inferior to physically. He went against them in the power of God. God strengthened David. And I love what it says here when Abner was questioned by the king, and king says, whose son is this? King says, or Abner says to the king, I cannot tell. As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. He didn't know Jesse. Or at least that's what he said to the king. I believe he didn't know. But Jesse raised his son in such a way that David was able to have a walk with God because of how his father led. And there was some wisdom that his father used to raise up David. And because of the wisdom of their father, David went from being a son of Jesse to really a son of God. And when they saw David go against that giant, they thought, that's no son of Jesse out there. That's the son of God. But Jesse was a man that was a considerate man. And I also believe that, as we heard this morning, fathers, we're all our first chance. This is our first time around being a father. You know, well, it really is. Pastor Hain mentioned that this morning. This is our first time around. And I remember when we first had Abigail and thinking, wow, what do you do with one of these, you know? A baby. Wow. That's a lot of responsibility. And I certainly did not have any kind of mastery. Now, of course, I've heard about parenting and read principles of parenting from the scripture, and there's many good principles, but it is over your head when you're a parent to parent a child. If you know all the details of things, you know you're over your head. You just are. And so to have a child is a great blessing. But as you have the privilege to raise a child and then maybe raise another child. Now, Jesse had, it was eight sons. Eight sons, and I believe he had a daughter too, because David had a sister. And so he had a pretty good sized family. And I remember when Samuel came to talk to Jesse about anointing a son, he said to Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And Jesse hadn't even called for David at that point, which is interesting. But I also am challenged this way that it takes a little bit of courage to have faith and trust God to continue to have a family. And I'm thankful that Jesse did have a family. And he could say, oh, they're not all here, but there's another one out in the field taking care of the sheep. And they called in David, and David was used mightily of God. And I would say, it'd be a sad thing someday to stand before God, and God would say, are all your children here? And you'd have to look at him and say, well, no, I guess we didn't have all the children that we could have had. That'd be a sad thing. But Jesse was willing to have a family. He saw that as a blessing. And I believe that Jesse learned some things as he was raising children. One of the things he probably learned, if he was a good dad, and I believe he was, is that he learned that he needed to trust God for a lot. And he wanted to teach his children to trust God for a lot. And he gave his children responsibility out there in the field. And different responsibilities, different chores. And David had the responsibility from his dad. His dad entrusted him with the sheep, to take care of the sheep. And he did a great job taking care of his sheep for his father. But notice this, that Jesse was a person who was considerate of others. You see in verse 17, where we started, 17:17, Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves. So he wanted to take some an ephah of parched corn and 10 loaves for his brothers so they'd have something to eat. He was thinking about his sons out there at the battle. And you know what I appreciate about Jesse is that he was not one of these that said, well, you know, we just need to protect our children from all the bad influences. But he taught his children to be strong. He wasn't shaming his children. Oh, they're going to fight in the battle. He wasn't shaming them for that. He was encouraging them to be strong and to stand up and defend the nation. He was encouraging his children to be strong. In fact, I never noticed this until just when I was just studying this recently. But he says, take these this ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And then look at verse 18. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. You see that? I never even really put it together, but Jesse sent some food for his sons, but he also sent something very special and very valuable. These cheeses were not a cheap thing. Even today, if you buy cheese, you know, you can't just sit there and have a plate full of cheese every night. Well, you'd be feeling bad if you did, but most of us can't afford to eat like that. I mean, cheese is an expensive thing. And back then, it took a lot of time. It was valuable. He sent 10 cheeses to the captain of their host. I think it may have been Abner, the same one that the king talked to, possibly, but it was the captain of their 1,000. And Jesse wanted to encourage that captain. Jesse encouraged strong leadership. He didn't discourage it. Jesse was a man that was that taught good leadership, and he taught his family well. Notice that David, when he left in verse 20, he rose up early in the morning. He took responsibility and left the sheep with a keeper. I love that, because later Eliab, when he's angry, he says, "With whom did thou leave those few sheep?" As if you just brushed off your responsibility and just, you know, you're down here to just get entertained by the battle. You're not really planning to do anything significant or really make a difference at all. You're just here to entertain. You're just here to be entertained, really. That's it. And so he was criticizing his brother. And one of the ways he criticized him is he basically assumed that he had just been irresponsible with the sheep that he had to take care of. And so David did leave those with a keeper. Notice also in verse 22, David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of a carriage. I like that. And then verse 26, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" Notice, David was a man of vision. He didn't look at the Philistine and said, "Oh no, what are we going to do now?" He's saying, somebody needs to go down there and take care of things. And it's going to need to be taken care of, and it will be taken care of. Somebody's got to get out there and do the job. David was a man of vision. He didn't get discouraged by that Philistine. He didn't become overwhelmed by that Philistine. But he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He wasn't concerned about being defeated by some big guy, because he knew that Israel was the nation of the living God. And his armies were the armies of the living God, the Lord of hosts, the God over all the armies. And David was not concerned that God was going to be able to win this battle, that God was going to be able to use a man. And David didn't necessarily, I don't believe right away he thought, "Oh, I'll go down there and take care of it." But he thought right away, somebody's going to go down there and take care of it, because this is the armies of the living God. And if nobody else will stand up, may God give me boldness to go down as a little stripling and try to fight against this great champion of the Philistines in the power of God. And so David just saw that the living God must prevail, and he challenged the people that way. And the people had said that the king would enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Well, Eliab heard how David was talking to the armies, and Eliab was angry. It would have been good if Eliab had said, "You know what? We do serve a living God. And somebody does need to go down there. And somebody does need to fight." Probably Eliab was a bigger man than David was. It would have been good if Eliab had gotten behind what David had said. And Eliab had said, "You know what? The king sees potential for a man to go down and defeat him. And by the grace of God, maybe it can be me. God, send a man." And if he had been willing, but instead he picks at his brother and criticizes his brother. He should have been focused on the battle. And David focused him that way. Verse 29, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David later would go down to fight against Nabal, and Abigail met him and stopped him there. And she said, or actually he said, after she had stopped him, he said that he appreciated her counsel, and that what he was about to do was going to be a causeless pursuit. A causeless pursuit. Whenever we pursue defending our own righteousness, our own reputation, whenever we go about trying to defend ourselves rather than the God who's worthy of praise, we are fighting a pointless battle. It is causeless. And you can see that word, you can trace that word causeless through the scripture. It's very interesting. But verse 29, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. What did he say? Well, I used to think he was saying, "Is there not a cause?" Which in context there, it seems like that's, he just kept saying, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? But that's not, if you read it, he's not saying, he never spoke to the multitude that way. He never reached out to the multitude and said, hey, is there not a cause? He said, what shall be done unto the man who slays this Philistine? And so I believe he turned back and spoke to the multitude that way, and they responded to David that way, because it says he answered again after the former manner. Excuse me, they answered him again after the former manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. The king heard what David said. Pastor Asquith said something to me the other day about Esther was raised by Mordecai, and she was raised in such a way that she would be able to speak to a king. That's good. I think there's a lot of wisdom to that thought. And David was raised in such a way that he could speak to a king and that he would be heard by a king. David was a man that had some courage. He was a man that had some vision. He was a man that knew how to be able to deal with his own shortcomings with courage and go to the God of Israel and have a voice in Israel. He was a man with courage. He was a man who walked, I believe David, at this young age, at this tender age, he was walking with God. And he tells that he had told the king that. Here, if we look down a little bit further, verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. Thank you very much. Thou art not able. You can't do it. And he was exactly right. He can't do it. David was not concerned about being able to do it in his flesh because he knew that he had the power of God behind him. Amen. The flesh is weak. We will fail in the flesh. And when King Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. So notice, David points right back to the responsibilities given to him as a youth. He said, when I was a youth, my dad taught me how to take responsibility by taking care of sheep. And while I was taking care of sheep, I realized something. This thing is bigger than me. These sheep will go wandering off, and there's predators out there, and it's dark, and I can't see all what's going on, and it is hard to make sure that all the sheep are safe. This is a project bigger than what I can handle, and I learned in that time to trust God. I learned in that time to find the power of God to watch my father's sheep. His dad entrusted him with some responsibilities, and in those responsibilities, he learned as an individual to walk with God. He said, there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. David said, I've come up against lions, I've come up against bears. And I've been working out every single day, and my biceps, and my triceps, and my hand-eye coordination, I can take out a bear, I can take out a lion, and I have this thing, this giant, he doesn't know, I know martial arts. I'm gonna poke him right in the eyes. I got this figured out. I know exactly what I'm gonna do. No, it's not what he said. He said, I took on a lion, I took on a bear, notice. I lost my spot, and I went out after him. And verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied, what? The armies of the living God. David said, moreover, I knew martial arts. No, he didn't say that. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David sold the king that he could be the guy. He said, the Lord, the living God, he delivered me out of the paw of the bear. He delivered me from the lion. And he's gonna deliver this Philistine into my hand. And the king said, well, then go ahead. And he said, the Lord be with you. I'm thankful for a man of courage like David, who stood up and stood for the name of God. And so Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. David said, you know what, I can't even deal with the equipment of the flesh. I'm not even trained in that. I can't do that. You hand me your sword, and it's like, oh, I can't even pick this thing up. It's enormous. But he could walk with God. That was something he was exercised in. And he didn't have much, but he had that little sling and that staff. It wasn't much. But he could trust God. And little is much when God is in it. Think about those 30 pieces of silver we talked about last week. In the hand of the potter, it's worth more than the rest of the world. In the hand of the potter. David understood that principle. Verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He says, you come to me with your weapons. I'm not coming to you with my weapons. I'm coming to you with the authority of my God. And I'll take my little sling, and I'll work with that. Amen. Through the power of God. I'd rather have a little sling and a little stick than have your swords and all your weapons, all your artillery. I'd rather have just a little bit and put it in the hands of God and see what he can do with it. It's more. And we found out it was more. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from off thee, or from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He was excited. And one of the reasons I think he was excited is because he'd been waiting for an opportunity to show his inability in a very clear way and show the power of God through him. Yeah. Everybody knew when they looked at that giant and they looked at David. Yeah. Everybody knew, what are you thinking? And he said, here's a golden opportunity to show a living God in Israel. He was waiting for that opportunity. He was looking for that opportunity. He was hoping for that opportunity. This was an outstanding opportunity for him to be able to show the power of God. Everybody knew that it was only by the power of God. It was like when Abraham's wife had a child. They knew it was the power of God. When Sarah was 90 years old, everybody knew it would be the power of God. Ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his hat, his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him. Excuse me. And slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You know, he slew him twice. He slew him once with the stone. He slew him again with the sword. He wanted to make sure that Philistine was dead. He wasn't taking any chances. And after he stood up on top of that Philistine and he pulled out that heavy sword, apparently he could move a pretty big sword because he was able to move that sword. He pulled that sword out and he cut the head of the Philistine off. He cut the head off. He was not playing any games. And you know what? We need to get that kind of an attitude about spiritual things. Jesus said, if you need to, pluck the eye out. If you need to, cut the hand off. Take your spiritual life seriously. You got a giant in your life, a reoccurring sin, the sin that so easily besets you. Take it seriously. Don't just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to turn the television off. If it's a besetting sin, get rid of that thing. I remember a couple of times we had parties when people would bring their CDs and their clothes and they'd burn them in a bonfire. You say, well, you don't really need to do that. You just throw them in the trash can. Well, it's good to just make a point, right? It's good to make a point that we're not going to do this anymore. Amen. And set it in your heart that, okay, that giant's down. He took his head off. He wanted to make sure everybody knew we're not going to have any questions here anymore. This is something that he wanted to make sure he followed through on. So he stood on that Philistine, he took off his head, and the Philistines saw their champion was dead. They fled. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sherem, even unto Gath and to Ekron. The children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Can't help but think that that armor was a reminder to David of, here's what the armor of the flesh will do for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever, I had an opportunity this week to hear a briefing from the White House, and some of the people talking were so intelligent. I'm thinking, wow, these people really have a lot of information. I mean, to me, it's like over my head. I'm like, man, they really know what they're talking about. I couldn't talk like that, you know? I wouldn't know all these things. But I was reminded that in all the wisdom of this world, so many bad decisions have been made.
Amen.
And I would rather just walk with God.
Amen.
I think of the richest man on earth is Bezos. Jeff, I think is his first name, Bezos. He is the man that started the Amazon. And with all the wealth that he has, over $100 billion, like what does that even mean? He had a precious family. 25 years he was married to his wife, Mackenzie. 25 years. And just about 1 year ago, in July, it'll be 1 year, they broke up their marriage, went different ways with four children. I don't envy all that money.
No, that's right. That's right.
The arm of the flesh, that'll get you know where you want to be. David took all that armor and he set it in his tent, I think, as a reminder to himself of the power of God over the enemy. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy son liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. So this is funny. In verse 56, he says, inquire whose son this stripling is. Right? Go find out whose son this stripling is. Well, meanwhile, David comes back. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, young man? He's not calling him stripling anymore. I like that. Young man. And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And so David was a man that had, I believe, a good heritage, and even Jesse was the grandson or great grandson of Ruth, and she was such a gleaner. And he was a man who taught his children to appreciate what they have, to be responsible. But really, I believe what Jesse taught his children was how he set them up for success, for a personal walk with God. And boy, I hope, fathers, if we can learn anything, that we would be able to learn to take our children to a place in their life when people are going to say, you know what, I can't tell you whose son that is. He's certainly not just the son of a man. That young lady, she seems like she has a walk with God. Not not just to walk with man. Well, if there's anything that we can learn from Jesse, is teach our children as we have opportunity to walk with God. Amen. And if you're a young man, don't be content to just be the son of a man, but walk with God and get the power of God on your life. And that's going to begin when you honor your parents, because you're not going to be able to have a good, healthy walk with God until you learn to first respect your parents. But it should go far beyond that, to having a personal walk with God. Yes. Let's go ahead and I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege that it is to come to you, the privilege that it is to know you. Lord, we thank you for this passage, Lord. It's just a fun passage to preach. I enjoy preaching through it, just thinking about David going down there and fighting against Goliath. And there's so much more that we can talk about in any one of these verses, but there's just some great truth here on the surface of this passage, Lord, that we can walk with you. And Father, that we can shun the strength of the flesh. And we can keep our eyes on you. And Father, strengthen you. And have your power to continue on, to go further for your glory. Father, we thank you so much for this day that we have to be able to celebrate our dads. Lord, thank you for all of us each to make a point. As we've been children, if our dads are alive, we can say happy Father's Day, but also make a point to tell them that we love. Not a small responsibility. Pray that you be with the dads here this morning, Lord, that you would give them the courage, give them the strength, the wisdom to do as they ought to be. To be able to train up their children, to be able to teach their children, to be able to walk with you. Lord, we pray now in Jesus' name that you bless this message, bless the time that we spent together today and each of the messages we've heard. We thank you for the time. We thank you for your love to us. And we commit this time in Jesus' name. Amen.